ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So the last nama we did was 326th nama, which is Pratishthitaha. So everything in this world depends on something. Something else to serve as cause, you know, as its cause. And Brahman is self-existent. It has no cause. It's a causeless cause. It does not depend on anything, any cause. It is self-effulgent. That's what Pratishthitaha means. The word, the nama, Pratishthitaha means, which does not depend on anything for its existence as a cause. It's a causeless cause. That's what it means. Pratishthitaha. One who is supported and established in his own greatness, in his own glory. Doesn't depend on anybody else. Absolutely independent. Pratishthitaha. So as you reflect upon this nama of the Lord, like I have already given these examples, you know, when you do fancy dress competition and all that, the idea is to inculcate those values into you. Based on this only, they took that movie also, you know, that Rangadev Basanti and all. Those fellows start acting, and then when they see those characters of Bhagat Singh and all, then they also start thinking like that. So when you, in childhood days, when you make the children compete in this, participate in this, you know, competitions like fancy dress and all that. So those things, they start reading, they start following for a particular time, and then it slowly starts imbibing in them. So exactly like that, when you read these namas, and each nama has its own glory, when you study all that, those qualities start rubbing in us. That is why we say, when you constantly give yourself into this, that will cleanse the dirt and give you a new fragrance. It's like taking a bath. So Vishnu Sahasranama chanting and studying and all these are giving a bath to your mind. Giving a bath to your mind, absolutely. Next, sloka. Skanda skanda daro dhuryo varadho vayuvahanaha Vasudevo Brihatpanu Adideva Purandaraha Skanda Skandadaro Duryo Bharado Vayuvahanaha Vasudevo Brihatpanu Adideva Purandaraha. Skandaha, one who drives everything as air, he who flows, like air he flows, or he drives up everything as wind. He drives up everything as wind. That is the explanation Adi Shankara gives. He drives up all the vasana. See, wind, wherever it moves, it cleanses the place. Now, when the room is shut for a long time, a lot of foul smell and all that. So, when you come back from vacation, you open up the windows and doors, fresh air comes in, the room becomes, you know, the foul smell is gone. So, similarly, Skandaha, he flows, he who flows like wind, and wind wherever it goes, it refreshes. Similarly, the pure consciousness, wherever the pure consciousness arises, it refreshes. Skanda is also the name of Lord Shiva's son, Subramanya. He is the commander-in-chief of the righteous army, you know. So, the Lord whose glory is expressed through Subramanya. So, in order to realize the self, it is a prerequisite condition that the different personality layers in the speaker should be completely integrated. The entire army is integrated under the command of Skanda, who is the son of Lord Shiva, who is the commander-in-chief of the righteous army. So, Skanda means one who is the chief general who collects all the goodness in us and keeps everything integrated, the dharma, so that the dharma is, oh, sorry, the adharma is conquered and the refreshment, refreshing feeling happens within as the vasanas are removed. That's what it means. Skandaha is the nama of Lord. So in other words, Lord Shiva and Skanda is also none other than the pure consciousness. Skanda Daraha, one who upholds the withering righteousness. One who fathered Lord Subramanya, meaning one who is the form of Parameshwara. Skanda Daraha means Lord Shiva himself, one who supports Skanda or the righteous path. So he is the support behind Skanda to integrate all the righteousness and establish the righteousness whenever the righteousness is withering away. Skandadaraha. Skandadara also means Lord Shiva, as he said. Means one who is the father of Skanda. Skanda means one who drives everything like air, one who flows, means like wind, he destroys unrighteousness by gathering all the righteousness together, and who gives power to that? That is also the Lord. This Lord Shiva of pure consciousness. Duryaha, one who bears the weight of the burden of all beings in the form of birth. Now we are saying we are taking care of the burden of our children. Here he says, I am the one who is taking care of everybody's burden. So one who carries, the Lord is the one who carries the responsibilities of creation, sustenance, destruction. Everything is taken care of by him. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, he in the 11th chapter, when he shows him the Vishwarupa Darshana, there in that chapter is a very interesting verse where he says, just be an instrument in the hands of totality. If you are creating something, for you to create the material, everything is already provided. You know, if you have made something, let's say you made Lord Ganesha out of mud, but somebody provided you mud, somebody provided you the water, somebody provided, taught you the technique of how to do all that. Then you made it. So, here he says, Duryaha means what? He is the one who carries the responsibilities of creation, maintenance, sustenance, everything. We are just spoke in the wheel of life. Varadaha. Varadaha means one who gives blessings. He who blesses all true devotees and fulfills their wishes. Vardhan, to ask, he gives. Jesus Christ also says, knock and it shall be open, seek and it shall be given. You just give yourself to dharma, and in that state of mind, any thought comes, that thought cannot be selfish. And such a thought will be fulfilled. Varada. Varada means, you say in Hindi Vardhan, no? You ask for something and the Lord blesses you with that. Now, when you go to the mandir, even a lot of people who go to Tirupati Balaji, I've heard them say independently that they may have so many things to ask, you know, in their mind. But when they enter that sanctum sanctorum, they say there is something there where when we close our eyes, as it is, they will allow you to wait there for hardly a minute. But they keep on pushing you. Jargandi, Jargandi. Now, in that few minutes or seconds, you close your eyes as a true devotee and you actually forget what you want to ask. So, when you completely surrender and the awareness takes over, you cannot ask anything selfish for yourself. Impossible. And any thought that comes, which is for the welfare of the total, he fulfills. Varadaha. one who blesses all true devotees and fulfills the request for boons. So the best he can give you is your own self. When you finally surrender to him, he gives the greatest of boon, which is your own self. So that's what he says. Bharadaha is the nama of Lord. So he is somebody who gives. The interesting thing is, if you really analyze this nama Bharada, he is given us already without asking, and he is still continuing to give without having to ask. So you actually don't have to ask. It's only when you are spiritually not evolved, you think you need to remind God. You know, children, when they are small, they'll have to cry, thinking that they'll have to make the mother known that they're hungry. Mother already knows and she prepares. So as you grow, you just straight away come from school and then you enter the kitchen, you know there is something that they can eat. It's ready. So, what we want is already provided and it will continue to be provided. So, once you really understand this, you will forget about asking. Without asking, he gives. So, that's why he's called Varadaha. Vayu Vahana. One who controls, regulates and moves the winds. And there are seven types of wind they talk about. Now he is the one behind all the movement. Wind means movement. Behind all activities, it is he who is there behind all activities. That's what it means. Vayu, Vahana. One who vibrates the seven vayus, beginning with Avaha. So all movements are because of the pure consciousness. Hence it's called as Vayu Vahanaha. So the Vahan. Vahan means transport, vehicle, on which the Vayu is moving. So the Vayu, because of the Vayu functioning in us, the Pancha Prana, the life is there. And that Vayu has to flow. And who is the support transporting it throughout? Brahman, Vishnu. So therefore, he is the prana of prana. Then, Vasudevaha, one who is both Vasu and Deva, time and Lord. One who is both Vasu and Deva, one who dwells in the physical equipment of all living creatures as its indweller and Lord. Vas means one who dwells. The place where you dwell, you know. So Vasu Deva. One who dwells also inside and one who is the Lord as well. Both. The pure consciousness dwells within and at the same time pure consciousness is beyond everything. Therefore, Vasu Deva. And then Brihat Bhanuhu. Brihat Bhanuhu means possessed of endless rays. Endless vitality. Endless brightness. He is the one who illumines the world through the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon, they get their brightness from Brahman. Therefore, Brihat Bhanu, one who is endless rays. Self that illumines everything. See, actually, when you read these namas, it's absolutely nothing but pure Vedanta. Brihat Bhanuhu. You are the one who is enlightening the world. But today, you are the one who is begging from the world. From the time we are born till we die, constantly we want something or the other from the world. Give me this, give me that, और टेक दिस अवे, ये मेरे को नहीं चाहिए, ये क्यों है. वी डोंट अंडरस्टैंड व्हाई थिंग्स आर देयर वेयर व्हाट, वी डोंट नो. सो वी थिंक दिस वर्ल्ड टू बी देयर फॉर आवर जॉय एंड वी आर कॉन्स्टेंटली बेगिंग, मेरे को ये दे दो, मेरे को वो दे दो, यहां से ये निकाल दो. दैट इज माई वर्ड, आई डोंट वॉन्ट दिस इन माई लाइफ, प्लीज टेक इट अवे. सो दिस इज बिकॉज यू डोंट अंडरस्टैंड दिस बृहद भानु. बृहद भानु मीन्स द लाइट इन द सन एंड द मून विच ब्राइटन्स एंड एलिवेंट्स दिस होल यूनिवर्स, दैट इज यू. इफ यू आर दैट, विल यू गो एंड आस्क फ्रॉम दिस मेटीरियल वर्ल्ड? सो यू विल ट्रैवल ऑन दिस अर्थ एज अ मास्टर, यू विल नेवर ट्रैवल ऑन दिस अर्थ एज अ स्लेव. This is why we say this is nothing but pure Vedanta. Vedanta doesn't tell you to leave the world and go. Vedanta just tells you to leave this beggar in you. You are made a beggar out of yourself. Constantly begging. We are big beggars. We are beggars basically. Ye chahiye, wo chahiye, constantly. Whereas he says Brihat Bhanu. Brihat means big, huge, infinite. And it's that illumination is so infinite that it influences the whole world. So the world is getting its power from you, but not knowing that, going and begging from the sense objects. Sense objects. It's like life begging from the dead body. Why would you beg from the dead body if you are alive? So the matter is per se dead, insentient. When the pure consciousness reflects, there is this reflected consciousness. You are a reflected consciousness as an individual. But if you educate yourself on the scriptures, then you understand, I am the one who is providing. So all these freedom fighters who fought with Britishers, their thing is, you have come into our country. We are giving you, so we are the boss. But you are trying to enslave us. So, in other words, when you know the Vedantic knowledge, you got to live it in this body, in this world. So, you continue doing your business, do whatever you are doing, but you will do it as a master. Wherever you go to give, you go to contribute, you go to distribute. You don't go there to take. That attitude will not be. When you go there to take means immediately you are, you become the slave mentality, right? Immediately you become very inferior in your mind. Well, I have to take, I need something. So the problem is here. This is the problem. So, doesn't matter what the society has done to you through caste or creed or community or whatever, they could have pushed you down. But once you gain this knowledge, instantly you wake up. Say, no, these are my conditionings. I throw away my conditionings. A woman means has to be like this. You are belonging to this caste, you have to behave like this. Who is putting all these regulations? Why should you allow yourself to be conditioned? So, Brihat Bhanu, limitless expression of consciousness or light, called Brihat Bhanu. Adi Devaha, one is the primary source for everything. It's like source begging. Nowadays it has happened like that. The fellows who have given money to somebody, who has lent the money, they are the ones who are going and knocking the doors of the people who have taken the money. Fellows who have taken the money, they are sitting and enjoying as if they are the kings. The world has changed like anything. This is exactly what is happening with reference to our lives. I have given the sentiency to the matter and I am now begging at the hands of the matter. Please give me this, give me that. So, Adi Deva, the source of Devas. Deva means illuminating factors. So, I am the one who is the Lord of all Devas, all the illuminating factors. And Purandaraha, the destroyer of the cities. Cities means experiences. When all experiences, or when you realize the self, all experiences ceases. There is no experiencer experiencing. Everything, the plural, dissolves. Thereafter, there is no subject-object relationship. All the experiences dissolve. Purandara. The three cities are the waking, dream and deep sleep. So the pure consciousness transcends the pure, the waking, dream and deep sleep states. It is Purandaraha. Next shloka. Ashoka stara nastaraha shura shaurir janeshwaraha anukula shatavarta padmi patmani bekshanaha. Ashoka stara nastaraha shura shaurir janeshwaraha anukula shatavarta padmi patmani bekshanaha. Ashoka. Shoka means sorrow. Ashoka means non-sorrow. So, the moment you turn towards the self, all shokas will be gone. Because the moment you have turned towards the self, your attachment, when it has happened to the God, attachment to the world is gone. When attachment to the world is gone, shoka is gone. And when you finally establish in Brahman, anandam you experience. So, a person who has turned towards the self and dropped all the attachment to the world, instantly all shokas are gone. So the shoka is not given by the world. World cannot give you shoka. Why you are going through shoka? Because of your attachment. The attachment that gives you sorrow. World doesn't give you sorrow. Similarly, world cannot give you happiness also. But because of attachment, you are going through sorrow. Therefore, he says, Ashokaha, one who has no shoka, no sorrow, because no attachment whatsoever. Only if I had some expectations and you did not fulfill that expectation, then I will have agitation. I have no expectation, nothing. Therefore, there is no disturbance whatsoever. So therefore, Ashokaha, Karanaha, one who enables others to cross. Cross means what? This samsaric life, he helps us to cross. One who uplifts beings from the ocean of samsara. We all suffer in this ocean because of two things, likes and dislikes. We have our own likes and dislikes. Our likes and dislikes are the cause that makes us suffer and enhance more and more vasanas and continue. Therefore, karanaha, one who uplifts being from the ocean of samsara. So when you rise to the level of Brahman Atman, rise above the likes and dislikes. Rise above the samsara, the changing aspects. Rise above means the changes do not affect you. The changes do not affect you. Because you understand that change is a constant from the material point of view, from the world point of view. So why fight with it? This is, world means change. Another name for the world is change. So why would you fight with it? You will never fight with it. Taraha, one who liberates being from the fear of residence, the womb, birth, old age, death, etc. Same thing. What is this fear of birth, growth, disease, decay, death and all that? It's nothing but samsara. He says, one who liberates beings from the fear of residence, the birth, growth, disease, decay and all that. So Tara means one who saves. Where does he save from? He saves us from rebirth. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam. Now, rebirth means you don't have to necessarily understand it, which also is correct, as if you will be born again, which is fine. But rebirth means conditioning. You will thereafter not be born. Born means what? It's a conditioning, no? You are born as a woman, you are born as a man, you are born as an Indian. You are born as an engineer. You are born as other things. That thing. There is conditioning. There is no more rebirth means there is no more conditioning. You will refuse to be conditioned thereafter. Karaha. If you want to save yourself, do not condition yourself. When you condition, you will get caught. See, this thinking is very interesting. Why you condition? Because in every condition there are a group of people who will give you support. If you are a communist, there are a set of people who are communists, so there is a group. If you are a capitalist, there are a set of people who are capitalists, there is a group. If you are a socialist, there are a set of people who are socialists, you will get a group. Whatever. So we want to come under something. That's because we are weak. Weaklings are the ones who look for the group. But one who understands the truth, he doesn't want to come under any group. So, on a lighter note, as you study Vedanta, the number of groups in which you are a member in WhatsApp will reduce. It should reduce. This group, that group. Life goes in all these things itself the whole day. So, Taraha, one who saves, you save your time by not getting into any of these groups. Each group will have some 25 fellows. And each fellow put in some 25 forwards. What will happen to you the whole day? 25 into 25 groups. I don't know where it will end up. So, you save yourself by not allowing you to condition. So, Brahman saves us from conditioning, from rebirth, from falling. Birth is a fall. Why would you want to celebrate a fall? Happy birthday. Happy fall, will you ever say? Let us celebrate your fall. And you fellows didn't remember my fall. My birthday. Good that they didn't remember. Why would you want to remind each other of the fall? So you celebrate Janmashtami. Why? Janmashtami is not a fall. What would you call that? What is the difference? When a person like Sri Krishna is born, and when we are born, what is the difference? What is the difference?
He is born with a purpose to destroy evil.
So what is that?
He is fighting for righteousness.
Remember this. I have given this example many times. So if you recollect that, it will help you. We call Sri Krishna, Sri Rama as avatara. Avatarati iti avatara. They come down consciously to save us. We have not come down consciously. We have fallen. The example I give is, you are walking on the road, just about 25 meters before you, ahead of you, another person is walking, but talking on the mobile phone, looking up at the sky. Hey, karo, wo karo, like that, she's talking and walking. There's a pit she doesn't see and she falls into it. You are watching this tamasha from behind. So you quickly run. You also get down into the pit to help her to come out. She also is inside the pit. You've also gone into the pit. But there's a difference. Difference kya hai? The first one, without awareness, fell down. You, with awareness, went down to bring her out. That's what you mean by saying purpose. So, when Sri Rama, Sri Krishna, people like that come, you celebrate their birthday. So, the birthday of a Mahatma needs to be celebrated, because when you realize the self, then every second, thereafter there is no falling. So such a Mahatma coming, it's a help. The fellows who have fallen, they are trying to help another fellow. First thing you do is stop starting any NGO. You are already fallen. A fallen fellow, how can he start NGO? Fallen means mentally. See, you take that example in the aircraft, what do they do? First, when there is emergency oxygen mask, when it falls down, first help yourself. You be strong and then you help the other fellows. See, you yourself are looking for name, fame, power, this and that. And then you will start on NGO through that, you want name. So what service will you do actually? So NGO is a crutch for you. I think somebody's mic is on. Please put yourself in mute. So, this is the problem. First you find your strength. First you become independent. And when you become independent, then service will come out of you. You cannot do anything selfish thereafter. All this bakwas is going on everywhere. You first become strong. All weak fellows, you know, are known for this, known for that. They're all, that's what, the difference is, one is fallen, other is never fallen, achyuta. Achyuta means one who's never fallen, one who's never conditioned, one who can never be conditioned. So become like that. Then you need not start an NGO, then you are a mobile NGO. So wherever you go, you will only be giving. Whatever you do, you cannot take. It's not possible. Impossible. So instead of uplifting us, so the fellows who are, people who have uplifted themselves, their birthdays you celebrate. The birth of a new man. Osho calls it like that, you know. New man. All different names you keep giving. But end of the day, what is this? New man, old man. Just born. Never born. End of the day, all one only. It is. Your body is born. You are never born. You have no, what do you call, the limitations. Therefore, why would you celebrate birthday, reminding yourself coming into the womb and conditioning? Nobody celebrates conditioning. You don't celebrate the day British has invaded this country. I don't think so anybody remembers that date. I don't know. I don't remember. When did first we come into this country for trading? We don't remember all that. We remember the day we got freedom. Freedom should be celebrated, not slavery. So if you understand this, Saraha, one who saves, who can save? One who is free only can save. Hey, you yourself are drowning. How you will save the other fellow? So that is why the first thing is you become strong. So the next nama is Suraha. Suraha means the valiant, strong. The real strength, Suraha, one of great prowess, is who fulfills the four supreme satisfactions of life: Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. When you realize the self, when you surrender to Vishnu, you can fulfill your Artha, Kama, establish yourself in Dharma and realize the self, attain Moksha as well. Suraha. So really speaking, strong fellow. Strong fellow means there should be zero weakness. Even if you have one weakness, that's enough. Duryodhana's weakness was his thighs. Throughout his body from head to toe, his mother's strength was transferred, the tapas of his mother. The thighs which he covered, his strength is not there. So Sri Krishna was telling Bhima to hit him there only. Keep hitting him there. That's enough. He will be finished. Similarly, Suraha means absolutely no weak spot. Absolutely no weak spot means absolutely no dependence on anybody, on anything, at any time. Free. Swami Chinnananda, when he came down from Tapan Maharaj's ashram, after he studied and trained for so many years, he took Tapan Maharaj's permission. He said, I want to go into the world and, you know, give this knowledge. He took his blessings from his guru. He came down. I think he first went and lectured in Pune or somewhere, I don't remember, or Rishikesh. And then his huge Chinna mission, he started, which is doing a lot of good work everywhere. Now, when he was alive in Chinna Mission Powai, I believe another Swami who was with him in Tapan Maharaj's ashram, Kosadak, you know, his Guru Bhai, he came to Powai. Chinnanandji was so excited. I think his name is Swami Govindagiri. He was a very simple man. He was not like Swami Chinnananda going and lecturing everywhere. He was a great Vedantin, absolute Vairagi and Viveki. But he was not known or anything like that. So he came to Swami Chinnananda's place and Swami Chinnananda was so excited. He gave him a separate room and he was staying there. And he said, this is your ashram. Here everything is yours. You stay here permanently. What he told, for which I believe Swami Govindagiri told, why are you trying to cage this parrot? Why are you trying to cage this parrot? We are all parrots actually. Caged parrots. Parrots means we actually belong to the skies. But we will put ourselves in this kind of groups and then suffer. For petty security that they promise, then you actually need security from them only. Remember, if you get nice feeling when you're in a group of gossipers, gossip mongers, but you'll be scared to leave them also. And the moment you leave, they'll stop gossiping you. You will become the subject of gossip. So there is interest also, there is fear also. This is what is happening in our life now. I can't leave it, but I am not happy holding it. I believe this is the language Ramalinga Rajuji used in his letter to Sibi. Satyam Computers. No. He said, it seems I've been holding the tail of this tiger traveling. Neither am I comfortable holding it, nor am I comfortable leaving it. Because afraid, no? Tiger will eat me. The tiger is running so fast, I can't hold it and go. This is the problem. We are in a certain situation where you are holding it, we can't leave it. Because it's the joy, that thing is nice. At the same time, you know we are trapped by it. Incredible, this kind of samsara. So, Suraha, one of great pravas. Zero attachment, no desire. He said, oh, desire nahi hai to paisa kaam karenge. Kyun nahi karenge? In fact, desire nahi hai to acha kaam karenge. Out of love. When a scientist enters the research lab out of love, he forgets that he is eaten or not eaten. He just goes on working. He is not working for the salary. So when you crucify the ego at the altar of a higher goal, the joy you get when the little self is crucified is a far, far superior joy than what you get from the paltry salary you get. This is madness. That's all Vedanta is trying to say. So you can be a practical Vedantin running so many business, this and that. But inside you are Shankaracharya. See, people like Shankaracharya, they were into something else. Into the propagation of this knowledge, establishing mutts, creating more teachers, saving the scriptures. That is their Swadharma. So if you know Vedanta, you will be in your Swadharma doing much better there. But the point is, so therefore you know, everybody need not become Shankaracharya. Should not also. So one of the great powers, not coming in any condition, no desire, nothing, only love. The power of love versus the cross of desire. Desire is a big cross. You know, you're carrying it now. And Jesus Christ was made to carry the cross, was crucified. So the crucifixion of Jesus is symbolically telling us to crucify the little self, ego. Crucifixion of the little self. That's the real strength. Weakness is the little self. For my son, for my daughter, for my this thing, for my that. The moment you do that, you become weak. So he fulfills all the four goals. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. When you just simply do actions out of love, you will be highly productive. Artha you will learn. Your mind will be in the present. You will be absolutely entertaining yourself, enjoying. And you will be established in your dharma and you will attain moksha. Saurihi, one who has Krishna as the son of Sura, that is Vasudeva. So Saurihi refers to Lord Krishna, it says. Lord Krishna was called as Saurihi. See, Krishna is the son of Vasudeva. who was called as Vasudeva, is someone who is absolutely unconditional. You cannot put him in one category. One side, if you see, is playing with gopis absolutely as if no responsibility whatsoever, you know, playboy like that. On the other side, putting himself in such danger in the war, he is the charioteer. It's not as though everybody will shoot perfectly aiming on Arjuna. So many arrows pierced his face. It's called Parthasarthi. So all the arrows pierced his face everywhere. He put himself in such a danger with so much sincerity and responsibility. He was sitting there and convincing Arjuna that we need to fight this battle. So, one side Krishna is playing with gopis, one side he is doing this. You cannot put him in one bottle. It's very difficult. It's not classified. So how, he's like wind. That's why they say, skandaha, wind. Wind ko pakadna mushkil hai. You cannot. Easy, you know, you just want everybody to be in something. In fact, the unconditioned fellows, the society, the people who are in society, they will look at these unconditioned fellows as enemy. That's why they crucified Jesus Christ, poisoned the Socrates. All these things they'll do. They cannot. Anybody who is unconditioned, he will not fit into one label. He'll be sometimes saying lies. Sometimes you'll be like, hey, Yari, what to do with these fellows? It's like unpredictable. But unpredictable, there are fellows who are unscrupulous, they are impulsive, they will behave this way, that way, they're mad. That's different. That is why Mahatmas, they are called as Unmattavat. Vat is a very important word here. Vat means like, Unmattavat means like a mad fellow. Mad fellow is unpredictable, like a dog here. See, dog, why people are scared of dogs or monkeys? Very unpredictable. Suddenly bounce on you, suddenly sitting quiet. God knows what it will do next. So, what is in dog's mind you cannot predict. So that, like that, Krishna can never come under. He is always established in Dharma. But he will never. You can never put him in one, you cannot label it. This, he will be like this. Unconditioned free spirit. Very difficult. For worldly things, it becomes very difficult. As a society fellow, I just cannot tolerate this. You have to come under something. Why? Oh, you are asking too many questions. Why not? So, Shaurihi, one who has Krishna. So, Shaurihi, in this context, when he is talking about Taraha, Taruna, and all this, Taranaha, all this when he is talking, suddenly, Shaurihi, you will wonder, what is this? Son of Vasudeva, okay, Krishna, so what? What is that? He is unconditioned. Very interesting, you know. He doesn't have a shape of himself. Then you will be, supposing somebody takes you to discotheque. Suppose they take me to discotheque. Don't ask me why you went. Just giving an example. Oh, vahan jaake I will be giving, okay, let us chant Vishnu Sahasranam, or what? I tell the DJ, play Vishnu Sahasranam. I don't know, maybe these fellows will do that also. Change the tune and God knows what all they'll do. So, there you go, you burn the floor, you do, or is just, don't at least teach Vedanta there. There you got to do something else. You should be ready to be flexible. Ego is very, we call, stubborn. When I say flexible, doesn't mean you will become like a chameleon. No. Flexibility means in this context what you can do. I go to play badminton in the morning here. Because they know that I'm teaching Vedanta. Never have I spoken Vedanta to them, nor do they ask me anything about it. I'll just be with them, whatever jokes they crack and that thing, I do that for 1.5 hours, be with them, play my game and come back. So then you are in that group, be in that group. But everything fitted in Dharma. That's all. That is called Krishna. Krishna can never be put in one bottle. Impossible. So, Shaurihi, Janeshwaraha, the Lord of all beings. The Lord himself means one without whom the beings cannot survive, and one who remains with the beings but remains the Lord. So, he will enter anything, do everything if the situation demands, but he will or she will remain as the Lord, as the boss. They can never be controlled in a situation. On their own will, they will control. Janeshwara. So, Janaha means people, beings. Ishwara means Lord. So, Janaha means what? They will they'll be controlled. Ishwara means he will have his own. If he decides to be part of the thing, he will be. If he thinks this is good, he will be. Not his good, the welfare of the total. Janeshwara, Anukulaha. Anukulaha, one who, being the Atma of all beings, is favorable to all, for no one will act against oneself. The Atma, Vishnu, is called Anukulaha. Means, you will never act up against yourself. No. Will you do anything to destroy yourself? So, since he is the Atma in all, he is favorable to all. How is he favorable to Asuras? How is he favorable to Asuras? Anybody? How is he favorable to Asuras? Because the word Anukula means one who is favorable to all. For no one will act against oneself. How is the pure consciousness favorable to all? Any answers?
Everyone is pure consciousness.
Favorable.
Okay.
How is the government which is wielding the laws appropriately and taking actions against those who go against the law can be interpreted as favorable to them against whom they are actually enforcing the law? How are they favorable? When the mother reprimands the child, is she favorable to the child or not? Huh?
Yes, she is.
In what sense?
She's correcting the child.
Exactly. Course correction.
Yes.
You understand? Because if she goes on leaving the fellow like that, Impulsively, you can do whatever you want, sleep whenever you want, get up whenever you want, as if it is a, you know, chatram. People can come and stay. No, but it's like, you know, your house is open. Anybody can come, anybody can go. Cannot be like that. There has to be some decorum, some discipline, which is good for them. So actually, even when the law actually punishes the asuras, it is actually being good for them. That's what you need to understand. Anukula. The Lord is always doing good only to anybody. He, Lord means incapable of doing anything negative for anybody. If you are capable of doing anything negative for anybody, then you are not the law. Then you have some preference. So anukula, always. You may not understand. As a child, you will not understand. You ask the teenager, who is your first enemy? Father. That fellow, when I become old, I'll finish him. But as he grows, he understands, my God, if you had not done that, something could have happened to me. So, anukula. Now, I'm not generalizing. There are, in the name of parents, tyrants are there who are not fit to be parents only. That's a different thing. But generally I'm saying, no. So, anukulaha. Satavartaha. One who has had several avatars are encouraged. How many? See, we only talk about dasavada, but everything is his avatar only. And the avatar is happening every second. In a way, there's a letter that Swamiji wrote. I don't know if I posted it in this group. I'll try to see if it's still there. I'll post it. This corona and all this thing, I'm reminded of the documentary that Shweta asked me to see. The earth that was or something like that. Incredible. This is needed. I don't think so. We still learnt our lessons fully. But they're very much needed. Corona, if it had, under these last 2 years, now again when they opened up, again see pollution, little bit if we are allowed to get in, destroy the whole thing. Mountains are destroyed, forests are destroyed. Huge buildings we are constructing, destroying mountains. Mad fellows. How much? Slowly, slowly when you go into these mountainous areas, they are saying, few mountains are not there only. This is real madness. So, several avatars, again and again in some form or the other, the consciousness reveals and sets things right. We will never learn our lessons. We think we are the supreme control of this universe as human beings, and we will destroy the planet and will destroy us. If this knowledge is not there, you will destroy the world, you will destroy us. So in a way, everybody should have this knowledge, because if you have this knowledge, your wealth will be a blessing. If you have this knowledge, your power will be a blessing. If you have this knowledge, science will be a blessing. If this knowledge is not there, science will be a curse. This is what is happening. If a restless fellows, given the switch of a nuclear power station, every half a second he'll ask, shall I switch it? Shall I switch it on? I don't feel good today. I just want to switch on. I'm bored. Dekh lenge kya hota. Let me switch on. Because he is mad. He is restless. The switch should be given in the hands of a fellow who is sensible. Not an impulsive idiot. So, human species, when they don't come under this knowledge, it's a deadly thing. That's why we say first get exposed to this knowledge. Exposed doesn't mean just reading the book. Think you gain this, and then you get into the world. You do whatever you want, doesn't matter. So Shatav Parta, Padmi, one having Padma or lotus in his hand. Padma or lotus in his hand means what? Peace. Padma represents peace. The absolute self, that's what it represents. The lotus represents peace, pure consciousness within. The pure consciousness, when attained, gives you absolute peace, serenity, calmness. That's what this lotus represents. Then Padmani Bekshanaha. One whose eyes are as beautiful as the lotus. Lotus eyed. Padmani Bekshanaha. Absolutely beautiful and attractive. With eyes like lotus. Very attractive. Soft, kind, and mother-like and attractive. See, we talk about the laws. At the same time, the Vishnu Sahasranama keeps giving these namas. Padmanabha, Padmi, Padmani Bekshanaha. The idea that they want to convey is not of a tyrant, but of a mother. You will never get an idea of a wild mother. If she wants to become wild, she can. She can take the Kali Rupa. But kindness is referred to the main quality of a mother. And it's soft. My child, even if he or she is going astray, she has so much compassion and this tries to get the fellow back on track. So that eyes, when you look at the eyes, it's very attractive and it's very soft, kind, and the pure consciousness reflects through the eyes. So Mahavishnu is called Padmani Dekshanaha, lotus eyed. Meaning, actually he may look like, you know, one who is controlling and this and that, but actually very, very kind for our welfare. And it's impossible that one can turn away after having looked at his eyes. That's fixed. Completely. So, when you turn towards the higher, your mind enjoys that subtle joy. Thereafter, it's fighting actually. But then the problem is the old habits are there. We fall. That's why we fall. You know. But once you have seen that, it will be going in your background. Do not want to leave that. Hey, why am I falling into this? The conditioning are there, the force is there. But you would want to get out of this nonsense and get back. Padmani Bekshana. Beautiful Nama. The next one, next sloka. Padmanabhora Ravindaksha Padma Garbha Sharira Vrita. Mahardi Riddho Vriddhatma Mahasho Gurudat Vajaha Gurudat Vajaha Padmanabho Ravindaksha Padma Garbha Sharira Vrite Mahardi Riddho Vriddhatma Mahasho Gurudat Vajaha Padmanabha. Nabhi means the womb. the navel. So Padma Nabhi, basically, if you understand, Lord Narayana lying on the, what do you call that, serpent, Ananta Shainam posture, milky ocean, from his navel, Brahmaji comes, then from then, from Brahmaji, the whole world is created. So meaning, the creative force, the creative energy. So Padma Nabha, one who resides in the Nabhi or the central part of the lotus heart, which means the energy that is being referred to, which is heart, which is the creative force. So when it is in the hands of Vishnu, it's a creative force. In fact, with that you can create or destroy yourself. Destroy yourself in the sense by creating more and more desires. So Padma Nabha, one who resides in Nabhi or the central part of the heart lotus. So it refers to the Kundalini Shakti, you can say. And Aravindakshaha, one whose eyes resemble Aravinda or the lotus. Again the same thing. Beautiful eyes. Padma Garbha, one who is fit to be worshipped in the middle of the heart lotus. So he is within us. See, heart means center. Remember, heart of the city. Heart of the city means center, the core. So, the core of your personality. From there all the energy is springing. That's the treasure house. So, Padma Garbha, the womb, that womb in which this entire energy is stored. You have tremendous energy, but unfortunately now, your energies have become so limited because of desire. The mad fellow has tremendous energy. So, Vedanta says, when you realize the self, you become like a mad fellow. Tremendous energy, that fellow, mad fellow. Why? Because he has no ego. He has absolutely no ego. So when you have dropped your ego and realized the self, you also have tremendous energy. Padma Garbha. Sharira Vrit, one who supports the bodies of beings, strengthening them in the form of Anna and Prana. The Anna and Prana is actually Brahman only. Nothing but Brahman. Therefore, Sharira Vrit. Mahardi, one who has enormous Ruddhi or prosperity. So the real owner of all your wealth is Vishnu. You have been given to be his trustee. But unfortunately, you think it's yours. This is the problem. Enormous prosperity. What does enormous prosperity mean? How do you define prosperity? The more prosperous you are, the less desires you should have. Or the more desires you have, the less prosperous you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. But the desires are more than your money, you are poor. So the enormous prosperity means zero desire. Riddha, one who is seen as standing in the form of the world. So, enormous prosperity, what does it mean? This entire world is nothing but Brahma. Mahavishnu who has become this world. The entire universe is Mahavishnu. Riddhatma. Even though he is the world, he is ancient, he is before everything. He is the very first being. Before everything, one whose Atma or body is Vriddha or ancient. Vriddha Ashram, old fellow, very old. Very old means what? The very first being, the cause of this universe. Mahakshaha, and who has got two or more or many glorious eyes. All our eyes are his eyes only. So, his two eyes, sun and moon, and everything through which all perceptions happen, it is his eyes. Garuda Dvajaha. One was Garuda as his flag. The Garuda bird, which flies so high, he says he has that bird as his vahan, as his flag. So, the vehicle of the Lord Vishnu is Garuda, Garuda Vahana. So, it removes all the dirt in the world. Vahan. So from above sees even the minutest speck can remove. So you're flying high. From there, from the top when you see, there is clear vision. From our level you don't see. And when you fly from the top and see, you see everything clear. So therefore he said, Garuda Dhvaja. From the top when he's flying, he sees all the stupidity and removes everything. So we can stop with this. 354.
Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Ayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Hrudyatmanava प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.
हरि ओम.